series that we've been teaching from on Wednesday nights, restitution. Restoration. Thank you. It's not on the front of my sheet, so I forgot the word. Restoration. Amen. And we have my favorite person in the whole world to teach for us tonight. Praise the Lord. Sister Greeley, please come. Welcome her, would you?
Little bit out of the ordinary. But it is okay because sometimes, you know, it helps to knock you. Oh, this is different. Okay, let's do this. This is different. God works in those kind of ways, you know. He really does. So tonight, Pastor already mentioned that it's our title for tonight is Choices, and just taking any time to consider and to reevaluate where we are in our relationship with the Lord, it's a wise thing to do. Sometimes you have to stop and really think, just like, you know, we get into our routines, right? Well, it's going to be this way and it's going to be that way and whatever. Well, sometimes you just have to step back and say, okay, what have I had? Sometimes I get into my own routines and maybe that isn't where God wants me to be. So tonight we're going to be looking at choices, the choices. What choices are we, what are we really doing? What are we thinking? How are we headed towards the Lord? Let's go to Joshua 24:15. We'll get started with that. And it reads, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That was Joshua talking to the people that he was leading. And we'll go ahead and pray and get started. Lord Jesus, I do thank you, God, for each and every one that's here tonight, my God. I ask, Jesus, that you would move among us here, Lord. Let your word and this idea of choices tonight, God, really grasp hold of us, Lord, that we would really consider, my God, the things that we do through our day, the things that we are considering in our walk with you, my God. We love you so much and thank you, God, for what you have done already and what you are going to do in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. So, choices. Choice, the word itself, choice, according to Word Book Dictionary, is defined as you see in your guideline, the person or thing chosen or selected. Now, that reminded me of back when I was a kid in school and I was in gym class. Maybe some of you were in the same place as I was. Were you always the last one to be selected? The last one chosen. It always kind of felt funny, you know, and they're all, it's like, I know who's going to be chosen first, that one, they're really athletic, and then it'll be that one, and then it's like a toss-up between three or four of us at the end of who's going to get next, but yeah. So the person or thing chosen or selected is a choice. It's also the act of choosing or selecting. So you're the one that has to actually decide something. And then the choice is one of a number of things which only one can be chosen. So you have your group or your list of different things, and you get to decide between that group or that list of what's going to be chosen, and that is a choice. On your paper, you have the different listings of how the Bible uses these words. All the different forms of the word choice come up 107 times in the Bible because it's just so much a part of humanity, right? It's just part of being a human. We make choices all the time, all the time. Now, the entire Bible is a treatise on choices. I don't know about you, but I had to look up treaties. What does that exactly mean? And it means a systematic, extensive, written discourse on a subject. So the Bible, of course, the subject of the Bible, one of the main ones, is salvation, of course, but it also shows all the different choices of God's people through the timeline that God put down, and their choices in Kings, especially Chronicles. They tell a lot about the kings, right? And there were some kings that were very evil. There were some kings that were very good. And it's talking about those choices. What did these people choose to do? So many of them chose to turn away from God, and they chose, what did Joshua say here? They chose the gods on the other side of the flood, or and the gods, the Amorites, these kings. Sometimes they did not follow God. So when God created the universe and he made humanity, one of the things that he put in us was choice. He gave us the ability to choose things. Now, when I first got into church, one of the things that I really thought was so unfair, Adam and Eve, they made that choice, but now it rolled down to all of us. That's just not fair. Well, it was God's way of doing things, for sure. And they opened the door to sin for all of us. It was by their choice that opened up that door of sin. The Garden of Eden was set with the choice of two special trees. God just put two things there. Well, I mean, he put everything else. He filled the Garden of Eden with a lot of wonderful things, but he really put down one rule, two choices. You have the choice of the tree of life, which they could eat freely of. God didn't put any restriction on that. They could eat of that one. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were not supposed to eat. So it was really a choice between only two things. Stay away from that one. Just keep eating from this one. Well, when Adam and Eve made their choice to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's when the tree of life was refused to them. That's when it was refused to them. When they made that choice, they couldn't go back to the tree of life anymore. They made that choice to walk away from the life that God had chosen. And one of the biggest reasons, I think, that God did that, and I heard that from Brother Cunningham too. I was listening to some of his sermons this week. And he said that God would not let evil continue forever. If they lived forever, if they kept eating from the tree of life, then evil would continue forever and ever. But God doesn't have that plan. He's got a plan of salvation. That's the wonderful thing about him. Even though he saw that they messed up so bad, God made a choice. He made the choice that he would make a way of salvation for them. And I'm so thankful for that. I am so thankful. Right from the Garden of Eden, he made a plan of salvation for them so that they could have life again. They could have life for eternity. And that's the path that we're on now too. And we still have to make these different choices. So our foundation of our relationship with God is choice. God's not going to force anybody to do it. That's not love. If you force somebody to do something, that's not love. If you force somebody to obey, you might be able to get them to do it, but it's not out of their heart. When people in your pamphlet there, it says, I'm going to pray that God makes them come to him, that he's going to make them. God doesn't make anybody do that. It's everybody's own choice to do that. God's never going to override individual choice. And our life, of course, is filled with a lot of choices every day. We know that. At one point, I didn't realize, until you really stop and think about choices, I don't think you really understand how many choices you make a day. It's a lot. It's a lot. From the small little things to the bigger things. But we're making choices all day long. And our quality of life is determined by those choices that we make. The choices we make literally determine the direction of our life. Now, in my testimony, when I was 12 years old, it's so funny that I remember this. There was only me and my brother growing up, and my brother had a hard time in school. But I had a pretty easy time. I got a lot of good grades and stuff. And I was the homebody one. I didn't have a lot of friends. My brother had a lot of friends. He was a talker, and he was just going all the time and everything. He's very different from me. And he had lots of friends. And when I was 12 years old, I remember going through kind of a lonely time. I didn't have a lot of friends. And I decided that I'm tired of being good. Because my brother would get in trouble all the time. And it seemed like his trouble was a lot more fun than my sitting at home being bored. So at 12 years old, that's why it's so important for you young people to consider what choices you're making now. I made that choice, a conscious decision. I don't want to be good anymore. And boy, did I go off the deep end. It was bad. It was not a good thing. A lot of grief in my life caused by that decision. A lot of sadness. A lot of confusion. It was really so bad and caused problems in my home. My parents were just so... they couldn't figure out what happened to me. It was like I flipped my head or something. They didn't know what happened. And but the Lord let me go through that time. And then at 21, I made another conscious decision that I am going to serve the Lord. I am tired of all of that. Just even in my teenage years, it's like I am tired of this. I don't want to live like this all my life. I don't want to be like that. And when God opened the door for me to come to salvation, I'm taking it. That's what I want, Lord. I want to follow the Lord. So the choices that you make will determine how your life goes. We see that all around us. We know that our family members and things, that there's some that follow God, there's some that don't. And you can see the difference. You can see the difference the choices make. And of course, in our choices, we make or we fail to make choices. Sometimes we keep putting it off. I won't do that. I won't do that. I won't do that. And that's really, if you keep pushing it off and procrastinating with it, that's also a choice. And it's kind of the not now choice, right? But these choices are going to affect our attitudes. They're going to affect every part of our life, our success or failure in our spiritual walk, in our mentality, in our physical being, our relationships, emotions, finances, all these different things are related to the choices that we choose to make. And it's going to affect also our important relationships, of course, God, family, friends, church, job, all those things. By our choices is a... it's an effect that follows us everywhere. So every day, it says in your book several times, but more than several. How many times do you think you make choices every day? From the time that you say, okay, snooze, I'm not getting up right now, snooze, to, oh, I can't wear that, and go through about three different outfits, you know, you're making choices all the time. And sometimes they're good choices, sometimes they're not. All of us are human that way. We do make bad choices sometimes, and then we have to reap the repercussions, right? Paul in Romans 7, this is just a paraphrase, he was saying, sometimes I do right, sometimes I don't. I want to make the right choices. I want to. I know, because if I make the right choices, life will go so much better. I always want to make the right choices, but I don't always follow through. Isn't that the way we are? We say we want to do something, but then we don't follow through. We need to follow through with it. And your choices are yours alone. Nobody else can make them for you. Don't we wish, how many people I've heard, all I wanted to do was shake them. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? You know, we can see it in other people, but we don't always see it in ourselves, the choices that we're making. No one else can make those choices for you. You've probably heard it before, the story of the little child that had gotten into some sort of trouble or something, and they said, you go sit in the corner. And they went and sat in the corner with their arms like this. I might be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. The choice, it's inside, you know, it's our mind and it's our emotions, the choices. These are all things that affect our choices, our thoughts, patterns, our emotions, the situations that we're in. Those all affect our choices. So you can manage your life. If you cannot manage your life, if you can't manage yourself, and you can't manage yourself if you don't manage your choices. I have dealt with a lot of different people that have had addictions and things, and you get to certain places with them, and it's like you have to make different choices. When you get into those stress points, have something in plan to go a different way. Don't keep going back to the ways that you used to do it. Don't keep making those bad choices that you keep making. You got to, somewhere along the line, change the way that you're doing things. Managing your choices. How many of you have ever shopped at Aldi? Me. When they first came out in Bristol, and the first few times that I went there, I said, this is fantastic. This is so wonderful. When I need ketchup, all I got to do is go out to the shelf and get ketchup. There is no other choice. One choice, get the ketchup or leave the ketchup. One choice. And then you go to Stop and Shop. How many lines of ketchup do you have? Sizes, big ones, five different types, you know, all kinds of extra flavors. It can be overwhelming, right? Sometimes our choices can be overwhelming. I had been watching some things on decluttering. And decluttering is a process of managing your things, right? You're trying to manage the things in your life. If you have too many things, it can overwhelm you. And that's what our choices can be sometimes, too. Sometimes we want to have all these different choices, but then it overwhelms us. God lives simply, doesn't he? The Word of God and following God is supposed to be a simple thing. If you follow him and obey him, it's going to be so easy. But in our life, sometimes we get way too many things going that we just can't manage. And then it brings so much stress, too. If you've got things, project after project after project, or program after program after program, it can become too much. There's too much to choose and too much to handle. So sometimes in our choices, we have to stop and consider and slow down. Life is a matter of choices, is what John Maxwell said, and every choice you make makes you. Sometimes it can make you very stressed if you're not making the right choices. So sometimes there are things that we just have no control over. Isn't that life? So many times when I go to prayer, God, I can't do anything about that. I can't make their choices. I can't go back and fix the things that they've done or whatever, all these different things. And things that happen to me, too, there's things I can't control. I can't control my graying hair or all the hair that's falling out. Oh, my. You can't control your skin color, your parents and your family. That's where you were born. Even your first language, I mean, you can't. All these different things are things that just happen to you. You didn't really control them. And since you didn't choose these things in your life, the only option that you have is to make the best choices with the life that God has given you. Be happy where you are. 1 Corinthians 7:21 in God's Word, it says, were you a slave when you were called? That shouldn't bother you. However, if you have a chance to become free, take it. So Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and in that church, there was actually people that were slaves back then. And I thought it was interesting. Most of the slaves were Caucasian. I mean, they were in the Middle East. It wasn't a lot of colored people. It was more the Caucasians. And he's telling these slaves here, God has called you where you were. You were even a slave, and God called you, so it's okay. And then he's kind of giving them a choice, you know, that if you have an opportunity to be free, to become free, you know, I don't know how that happened back then. I don't know what the process was. But he's telling them, go ahead and do it then. Make that choice. Go ahead and step up if you needed to. Another scripture, Philippians 4:11, says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So a lot of our choices is what we're trying to get to is to being content, right? And our choices, we have to make this conscious effort to make the right choice. Because there are so many areas of our life that we can't control, but there is part of us that we can control, and that is us. Because, you know, we are always telling them, we want to control somebody else. Well, then the only person that we can control is us. And things that we can choose, you know, whatever state that we're in, whatever situation that we're in, we can always choose to be kind, generous, honest, grateful. That's being grateful, too, that brings down the stress level. It really will bring down the stress level if we're grateful. Pull out your list of all the different things that God has blessed you with. Also, we can choose to be respectful, optimistic, humble, teachable, happy, because happiness is a choice. You really can choose to be happy. You can choose to be godly. And then there is still going to be other times that you things that you didn't choose, but you end up kind of in the middle of it, or you get attacked by people. Sometimes, you know, things that you don't even understand. You could be in a job situation or something that, and all of a sudden one of your coworkers turns on you and says something that just seems so out of character or something. Well, what are you going to do? You can't change it. They already said it. And you can't change them. You can't make them do any other choices. So what do? You take care of yourself, right? So however others treat you, we can choose how we respond. Are you going to respond in anger and defense and coming back at them? How others talk to us, if they're talking to us rude and stuff, we don't have to answer them that way. Whatever our circumstances are, we can choose our attitude about it. Yes, it's tough right now. Yes, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I can still choose my attitude. I don't have to fall into depression or anything. I can turn to the Lord and make choices that I'm not going to let these circumstances overwhelm me. Even your health realities, I like the way you put that, health realities. Sometimes we just don't feel good. Sometimes there's really situations that you're dealing with. Well, you can't change it right now, or you would, right? You would change it if you could, but you can't. So what can you change? You can change your outlook about it. Pastor's sister, she's been in the hospital for quite a while, and she was getting a little perturbed with some things that were going on and stuff. And she apologized when we were on the phone. She said, "I'm sorry, I don't mean to be complaining. And, you know, I really am in a good place," and whatever. And so she was trying to change her outlook on it. You know, it was not comfortable. It wasn't going the way she wanted it to. And she kind of was falling into that direction. But then she chose, "I'm going to change my outlook." So Jesus gave us this principle of choice in Matthew 5:44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Okay, if you have a pen, go ahead and circle those things that you do. Keep that verse up, please. Go ahead and put that verse back up. Yeah. The things that you're supposed to do. So these are choices, something that you're supposed to do. So I found 4 of them. I'm trying to get you thinking. The 4 things that you're supposed to do is love, bless, do good, and pray. Those are things that you can choose to do. You can choose to do those things. You can love when it seems like they're unlovable. You can bless when they're cursing you. You can do good somehow, some way. Find a way to do good where it seems like it's not going to do anything anyway. Just do good. I don't know where I wrote that. And then, of course, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray without ceasing, for sure. Especially for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. So his message is pretty clear that it's our choice what's going to happen. It's our choice. What are we going to do? How am I going to handle these different situations? It's our choice. No matter what the other person does to us, no matter how they make you feel, whatever they say, whatever they do, it's your choice of how you're going to react to it. You can't make somebody else do something. They can't make you either. They can't. "Well, you made me mad when you did that." False statement. You got mad about what happened, but they did not make you get mad. You see the line there? You see the line? They didn't make you get mad. Yes, the thing that they did upset you, but you were the one to choose to get mad. So, yeah, this choice thing is crazy. I know it is. We need to think about these things. You know, we go around pointing fingers. "You did this to me, you did that to me." Well, not really. Yes, they did something stupid. They said something they shouldn't have said, whatever. But that it's your choice of how you're going to handle it, of how you're going to come back at it. And the one thing, how we respond when under attack is 100% our choice. And Jesus showed the way. He showed the way. Oh, so many times when he was accused, he would just walk away. Times he would just shut his mouth, silence. He wouldn't say anything. And especially when he went to the cross, right? He didn't defend himself and he didn't turn around and accuse them. In fact, he prayed for them and he asked forgiveness for them. So you have these little picture things in your pamphlet, something to, for you to go back and look at. I'm just going to kind of jump over the abundant life part that it is a choice. God wants us to have abundant life. That's true. But I didn't want to, I felt like that was a whole nother rabbit hole, and I didn't want to go through that. So you can just read that. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. That was Charles Swindoll that said that. Now, Brother Cunningham, in his Bible study here, he said that he had come across a devotional that had five statements that made him think about what choices were. Statement one was, anger is bad, dump it. Some of you have been through my Elements 2 class, and we talked about this. Is anger always bad? Not always. It's not always. Anger is an emotion that causes you to come to a point that needs to be addressed, something that needs to be acknowledged and addressed. Anger is an emotion. So what do you do with that emotion? We also talked about anger is a complex and powerful emotion. Don't we know that? But and if it's not controlled, of course, it can cause a lot of damage in many different ways. But I like to, in my Elements too, I like to say of how it you can direct that anger in a positive way. The example of the woman, her son was like 17 years old, and he died in an automobile accident. The other driver was drunk. And, of course, she was fighting all the pain and the suffering of losing her child and everything, and she realized that she was starting to get bitter about it, and instead of getting bitter, she decided she was going to do something. And she started the program MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. So anger isn't always bad. It's a place that gets you, something's got to change. It's an emotion, sort of like when you, our senses, right? If you touch a hot plate and your senses pick it up, get away from there. Well, that's what our emotions are too. It's a place of considering what's going on. Why am I so angry? What's causing this? What needs to be changed? What choices do I have to change? What do I have to make? So when he says anger is bad, dump it. That is true. I think he's talking more about don't let it get out of control. Make sure you understand where that anger is coming from and everything. Mark Twain said that anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel, the one that's holding that anger, than to anything on which it is poured. And that is the truth. What was the one Sister Caitlin used last week? Anger is like you taking the poison and hoping that the other person dies. James turned to me and he goes, Grandma, that's stupid. Yes, that would be stupid. You don't want to do that. That bitterness, that the anger that's out of control, the bitterness and stuff, you don't want to do that. I did laugh at this one. Anger is a feeling that makes your mouth work faster than your mind. Oh, yes. You know, anger, off goes the mouth. It's like, wait a minute, wait. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not. So there again, we're talking about that emotion. God made emotion, so he made it for a purpose. Excuse me. He made them for a purpose. So be ye angry, There are times that you're going to be angry, but sin not. Don't let it get out of control. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "When angry, count to 10 before you speak. If very angry, count to 100 before you speak." There's some people that even said that they might write down what they're feeling. And then when they give it a little bit of time, they go back to what they wrote and they realize they were pretty out of control. So what do? They crush it, crumple it up and throw it away. I heard that was President Lincoln's, one of his tactics for a lot of different things. He would write it down, let it sit there for a day or so, go back to it and see if he still feels that way about certain things. Take time. We live in a society that doesn't like to stop and think about things. If you go onto the social media, right, it's a whole bunch of nat, right away. So, before speaking, think. This is choices again. We're talking about choices. Think. T-H-I-N-K. Think. Is it true? This is another thing that will help if you're about to say something to somebody about some other situation that you know. On the line of gossiping, being careful about that. So first of all, you have to know if it's true. And then is it helpful? Is it helpful to transfer this type of information? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Do you really have to tell that? And is it kind? If you think about something before you're going to say it, these are types of things that you can help make the right choices. You're making all these right choices so that you can choose a blessing. You want to bless and love and do good. And taking these steps are going to help you make the right choices. Going to statement number 2, selfishness stinks, get rid of it. Being selfish is defined this way: being concerned excessively with oneself, seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being without regard for others. That's from the dictionary, being selfish. So that it's, in other words, that's not a good choice. It's something that we need to look at ourselves and decide, am I being selfish in this aspect, in these different things? There's a little test in there. I'm going to tell on you, Sister Janie. I gave her a ride tonight and picked her up, and she says, "Oh, our lesson tonight on choices, that's a really good lesson." And I don't think I'm selfish. I went through that little test there. And I said, "Janie, we're supposed to be doing that in church tonight. That's my lesson." But, and it's true. If you just look at these questions a little bit, if you like being in control, if you find it difficult to compromise, giving and sharing don't come easily to you, putting other needs first before your own, if you hear constructive criticism as a personal attack, if you become moody when others have the spotlight, forgiving others is difficult. Our choice here is either we can be selfish or we can be selfless. It's a choice, something that we choose. We can choose if it's going to be all about me or if I'm going to look out around me and try to help others around me too. Statement number 3, happiness is all around you, grab it. Some people will say, "I don't have anything to be happy about." Well, you better go back and start listing the things that you do have. That's it. Joy, contentment, those are things that we're trying to look for. It's not just amusement park happiness. That's not the idea, I think. It's having that contentment and the joy. And we want to choose that. Happiness can be found. Happiness doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be expensive to be happy. You don't have to have the most expensive car. Today on my way to church, I saw a Tesla. It can't be that old. And its bumper was all crushed up. And I go, ooh, that's probably an expensive fix right there. Ooh, my. It was pretty bad. So expensive things don't always bring happiness because things continue to happen, right? Nothing in this world lasts forever. Nothing. It's not found in things. Happiness is not found in things. It's not dependent upon other people. Many, many years ago, through my husband's work, we did a Christmas giveaway type thing. People had collected stuff, and then we were going to go in and deliver it. And we went to this one lady. She lived in a really poor part of town. She lived by herself. She was nearly blind. And we got in there, and she was just such a blessing. She did not complain about anything. In her house, I mean, she didn't have a lot of things in her house or anything. And it was just so peaceful there. And she was so content. You could feel the contentment there, even though she didn't have a lot. So it's not dependent on other people. She had her own. She had made the choice to be content and happy where she was, even though it was a tough situation. And the things that were around us. Happiness is found in loving people, and loving. And part of loving is forgiving too, right? Forgiving. We have to. Forgiveness keeps the love going. That's for sure. It keeps the love going. It's found in small blessings, like catching a frog in the pool. You might not call that a blessing, but it was a fun day this summer when the kids came over to the house one day and we found a frog in the pool, and they just had so much fun with that frog. And that poor frog, you know, he wanted to get away really bad, but it wasn't a good blessing for him that day. But oh, the kids had so much fun with it. So it doesn't have to be big things. It can be little things, right? Happiness is a byproduct of doing what is right. What came to my mind with this was many, many years ago, of course, when you're just learning how to live on your own and stuff. Well, I get the paycheck and say, all right, I can go get whatever it was that I wanted to get, right? Forgetting that the electric bill was coming up. So when it came time to pay that bill and I didn't have the money, there was stress. Stress that was caused by what? Wrong choice. I made the wrong choice. I didn't consider paying those other bills first. So happiness is a byproduct of doing what is right. You're much happier to pay your bills first. it's also found in appreciating what we have. What do we have? Psalm 32:1 in the King James is what we're going to read. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen. Yes. Now, Brother Cunningham, in one of his messages, he said he has like 65 Bibles, 65 different Bibles. And so he picked one. I don't know what the CEB is. Does anybody know what this? Brother Tim, you know what the CEB is? I don't know what that stands for. What's up? Oh, Contemporary English Bible. Okay. Common English Bible. So, right, and that's what's in your pamphlet there. The one whose wrongdoing is forgiven, whose sin is covered over, is truly happy. is truly happy. That's, he was looking for that happy thing, right? Because happiness comes by good choices. Happiness comes by good choices. In the Bible, it says that there, he, in his studying, he found 32 happy is the man verses in the book of Psalms. So we have that list of them. Okay, pull your pencil out again. Happy is the man who has faith in, you can underline that, the Lord. And go ahead and down, there's what, 8 of them or so, underline. And each of those, happy is, and at the end it says the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, God, the Lord. And what do you have in the Lord? What do you have in the Lord that makes you happy? You have faith in the Lord. You're guided by the Lord. That makes you happy. You have a resting place in the Lord. That's what makes you happy. You have hope in the Lord. You're a worshiper of the Lord. You have help in God. And it's the fear of the Lord that makes us happy. And then also it's the happy is the man who gives thought to the poor, because you know what joy is? There you go. Somebody's seen that before. Joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. You put Jesus first, then others, and yourself last, and you'll have joy. Happy is the man who gives thought to the poor. So it's in the Lord that we really find our happiness. This world comes and goes. Nothing lasts forever in this world, but God lasts forever. He's our hope. He's the one that helps us. We do have to appreciate what we do have, not keep focusing on what we don't have. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, or that's your walk of life. That old and antique word of conversation there is, it doesn't mean just your mouth, it means your lifestyle. So let your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So having the Lord is where our contentment comes from. He will never leave thee. He's never going to forsake us. Thank God for that. And the happiest people on earth are not the people who have the best thing of everything, but those who make the most of what they have. Make the most of what they have. Use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. My Aunt Bertha, she had 6 kids, and she was always saying that, make it, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. I found out later that that was kind of a mantra during the years after the war, when there wasn't much around, back in the 40s or so, 40s and 50s, when there wasn't a lot around, that it was kind of everybody's idea. We just have to make do with what we've got. We have to be content with the things that we've got. And it would do good for us to learn that again today. Statement number 4, life is short, so live it. Anybody 60 or over now understands how short life can be. And it's like, what in the world? How did those years go by so fast? So how do we live it? How can we really live it? Forgive quickly. Don't hold grudges. It only hurts you if you hold it, so don't hold grudges. Love truly. That is your choice, to love. It. Tell people in your life that you love them. I don't know if some of you have noticed that me and the grandkids have this kind of game that we have going on, that whenever we first see each other, we try to beat each other to say, who loves you? So if you come in the door and you go, I love you, And then they, oh, you beat me this time. So it's a little game between us that whoever can say that the quickest kind of wins, right? Like, oh, we have fun with that. I beat them sometimes. they beat me a lot of times. So tell them that you love them. Can I add something along with that? Many years ago, I'd heard a story about a young couple that were having some troubles, I guess, and they were kind of on the sides and not talking to each other. And then I think it was the husband that got into an accident or something and died. And that just hit me so much. It's like every time I go, that we leave, we try to say, I love you. Because we don't know what's on the other side of the door. We have no idea what's on the other side of the door. And I want the last thing that I said to my loved ones, I love you. I love you. So, laugh often. Laugh often. I think that's one of the things I really do like about having my grandkids around. Yes, I get upset with them too, but they do also make me laugh. And that's, laughter is a good medicine. Live your life with no regrets. Don't get to the end of your life wishing that you had said, done, or lived better. Make those choices to do those things now. Do good. You've probably heard this before too. Do good as much as you can to whoever you can, whenever you can. Just keep, even if it's just a little hello, smile at somebody. Just do something little. Do those good, make those good choices to do good. Well, what happens? You know, should we get all in the molly grubs about things because, yeah, I haven't made good choices in my life? Well, here again, we have a choice. The past is behind us. We can dwell in the past and all the bad things that happened in there and everything, or we can learn from that and say, okay, well, that was a mess. I'm not going to do that anymore. And leave it at that. Leave the past behind, right? Past is behind us. The future is ahead, so we do have to prepare for that. Choices, preparing for the future, and the present is where we are, so we have to live it. Make the best of each and every day. In Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, the Lord says, forget what happened before and do not think about the past. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. God's always ready to do something new, always ready to do something new. And he says in the word, it's already happening. Don't you see it? I'm going to make a road in the desert and rivers in the dry land. So that situation that you see, that you look at and it seems impossible, no, God can do something with it. He can do it. Choose to stand on his word. Choose to trust him. Choose to go to him with these things. Brother Cunningham's statement number five, a choice number five, memories are sweet, cherish them. So we know that memories aren't just about money and things. It really is more about relationships. And that Michael Landon, how many of you remember the prairie? Little House on the Prairie, thank you. Yeah, we grew up on that. Well, when Michael Landon, he ended up with terminal cancer, and he said, the one thing I need to leave behind is good memories. That is, you know, we all have our stories about families or people that left behind bad memories. And that is very, very sad. So we want our memories to be sweet. So we have to choose to serve God. It's not going to just happen. It's not just going to happen. And, you know, just a wish in our heart. It's something that we have to do. We have to choose. God didn't create us to be mindless and emotionless robots. He created mankind and gave us the power of choice. Again, that choice in the Garden of Eden between the two trees. And here in this section here, Brother Cunningham mentioned about the angels. And it kind of gives the impression that the angels don't have any choice. And I used to be in that mindset for a long time, and still until I was listening to somebody and they pointed out that Satan rebelled against God. That was a choice. So the angels do have a choice of what they're going to do. Don't ask me how it works. I have no idea. But just by what the Word of God tells us is that Satan chose to rebel against God, and he took one third of the angels with him. So angels do have a choice. Now the good angels, what do? They choose to please God, and we also, we get to choose between pleasing God or not, to love him or not, to walk with him or not, to live holy or not, to take a stand or not. These are choices we get to make. To be faithful or not, to work for God or not, praying for God's help or not. Oh, I can do it on my own. I don't need prayer. Don't worry about me. I'll be okay. Well, that is a choice. We get to choose that. We can witness for God or not. And one of the things about us as we mature in our Christian walk with God is we learn through experience, and we learn and we start knowing what to choose. What is the best choice in these different situations? What brings the most joy to me? Making these good choices that I'm going to feel good in the Lord if I go and I act on this little nudging that I feel. I'm praying about something and I have this little nudge to go and talk to somebody or to do a certain thing. Believe me, I've done it enough times to, oh, maybe that was just me. Maybe I just made that up or something and I won't do it. And then come to find out, if I would have done that, it might have really worked in that situation down the road. And then I have had the experiences when that little nudge came along and go, okay, God, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And just the contentment that you have in your own heart to say, I did it, Lord. I followed where you wanted me to go. That's a good thing. But it's you have this battle, right, with these different choices of doing good. So how do you make good choices? First, you have to decide what are your options. Look closely at the options. Don't just go on your emotions. That's a bad choice. Don't go on just your emotions. Then, of course, asking for God's guidance. Seek ye first the kingdom of God with prayer and fasting. That's going to help you a lot. Seeking godly counsel. Definitely find somebody else that you can talk to and ask about these different things. People that have been down the road already with the situation that you're dealing with. Ask them, what happened? What would you suggest? How can I get through this? What is honest, true, and right? And then, of course, does my preferred choice please God? Am I really praying the right way? Is it going to please God? And then you just have to go ahead and make the decision and then trust him with the answer. Trust, okay, God, this is the direction I'm going. And if you would want me to go in a different direction, then just lead my path as I go along. But sometimes your decisions, you don't know exactly where it's going to take you at the moment. So you have to just be trusting the Lord. And then in your choices, understand the weightiness of certain choices. You've heard this testimony many times. When we first moved to Connecticut, that was a big choice. That was a really big choice, and we wanted to make it the right choice. We didn't want to just go, oh, we're going to, pastor, he was offered a really big raise to do it, but we didn't want it to be just the money, because we know money can be fleeting, right? Money just doesn't cover everything. We wanted to have our family together. We wanted to do the right thing, walking in God. So we have to understand the weightiness of certain choices. Some of your choices through the day won't make a huge impact on your life, whether you decide to eat the ice cream cone or the apple. Choosing one restaurant or the other. Now that one, I think that does make a difference. and I'll tell you why. I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, but then again, I would certainly hope that none of you go to Hooters. Hooters restaurant, right? It's supposed to be. So those are things that you have to choose. I say, is this going to be a good testimony? Where I go, what I do, what I'm saying, what I'm buying, all these different things. Is it going to be a good testimony for the Lord, too? Those are things that, those are choices, right? What we wear, what we read, what we watch, all these different things, they really can make a difference. And I know he puts it as frivolous choices. Maybe the shoes that you wear could be considered frivolous, unimportant. But sometimes things that we say are unimportant really can be important in our witness, in our testimony for the Lord. So we have to be careful with that. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, everybody say it, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. And here in it, he made mention of this here, that our choices have temporal and eternal consequences, natural and spiritual consequences, personal and family consequences. Your personal choices can affect that last sentence there, that both thou, you personally, and thy seed may live. The seed being those that your family, those that come after you. So your choices are important. What are they? How are they going to lead your path of life? Always seek to understand the weightiness of the choice that you make. So going back to Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Now remember, Joshua was talking to the children of Israel. And again, he had seen them, how they had turned from God again and again and again. He and Caleb were the two that stood up for God when they first went into the promised land. And they said, Joshua and Caleb are saying, we can do it. The Lord has given it to us. He's promised it to us. All we got to do is trust God and go in there and get it. And the 10 other spies said, we can't do it. They were the ones that Joshua was talking to here. He's telling them, serve the Lord. Serve him. Serve him. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And Joshua had made the decision years ago, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord really is, it's a choice. It's an eternal choice. Blessing and cursing. Blessing is heaven, cursing is hell. It's a choice. All these different decisions that we make are important. And you're going to be making choices over and over and over again all day long, whether to be faithful or unfaithful, be honest or dishonest. And some of these things just come at you really quick. You better be prepared ahead of time what you're going to do. Things come out of nowhere, and it's like, do I lie? Do I tell the truth? What do I do? It can be, it's your choice, but you got to be prepared ahead of time. Know what you're going to do. Know that you're serving the Lord. Are you going to be kind or unkind? Are you going to be righteous or unrighteous? All these different things are choices. Right and wrong are always present. And we're faced with choosing between right and wrong all day long again. Go ahead and stand with me for this last scripture. Romans 7:21, Paul is talking about it here. He's talking about the struggle. There is a struggle between making the right choices because our flesh and the world fights against us. And the Lord is trying to lead us into doing what's right. And Paul said in Romans 7, He said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. So that he's feeling those choices. I don't see it so much anymore, the cartoons that have the devil, the little imp on one side and the angel on the other. But that's the battle that we're feeling. We're feeling, should I do the good thing or the bad thing? Evil is present with me. So there's always these options, the right and the wrong, the good and the bad, obedience and disobedience. We all have to do that. But what is the ultimate thing? The ultimate thing is pleasing God, serving God, making the right choices to serve the God, to serve Jesus, to honor him, to obey him. That's, what does that old song go? Trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's it. Trust and obey. Loving God. Being faithful to him. That's where your happiness is going to come from. These are the choices. And your happiness, your contentment is going to come from these things. So, as we end tonight, that's just at the end here, just choose God. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank you, my God. You put so much trust in us, Lord Jesus, God, to give us this opportunity to have a moral choice. Each and every one of us gets to choose what we're going to do. You don't stand in our way. You'll try to help us in any way that you can. And sometimes you do put up roadblocks if we're going the wrong way. And I'm thankful for that too, Jesus. I ask God that you would help each and every one of us, God, in our walk every day, Lord Jesus, to make decisions for you that would be pleasing to you in every part of our life, my God. We thank you. I thank you, God, for your people. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here tonight. I ask your blessings upon all these families, all of our families in our church, Jesus. Oh, my God, lead us and guide us in your truth. And I pray, God, that you continue to draw our hearts towards you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your mercies, your grace, your goodness towards us. We give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you all for being here tonight.